Today is Wednesday, March 27th, and welcome to episode 315 of Fault Lines, the National Security Institute's podcast that gets you quickly up to speed three times a week on the national security and foreign policy debates shaking up America. I'm NSI's senior fellow, Morgan Vigna, and I'm joined today by NSI's deputy executive director, Jessica Jones, NSI's director of policy, John Lipsey, and my fellow senior fellow, Lester Munson. And if you hear barking in the background, that is Jackson the corgi, and he's clearly upset about something. Just when you think President Biden's relationship with the Israeli government couldn't get worse, on Monday, the U.S. mission to the United Nations went and abstained on a U.N. Security Council resolution calling for a ceasefire in Gaza, thereby allowing it to pass. This was the fifth attempt by the Council to pass a resolution calling for a ceasefire in Gaza. The United States had vetoed the four previous ones. The resolution calls for the release of the hostages held by Hamas and condemns acts of terrorism, but notably makes no mention of Hamas. In response, Prime Minister Netanyahu canceled a delegation to the United States, which had been invited by President Biden to coordinate on Israel's operations in Rafah. However, Israel's Minister of Defense, Yoav Gallant, was in Washington this week meeting with U.S. officials, including SecDef Austin, Jake Sullivan, and Secretary of State Tony Blinken. So, Jess, things seem pretty rocky between the United States and Israel right now. It keeps getting worse, and it's spilling out into a multilateral forum now. What do you make of this?
I mean, I think you hit the phrase, keeps getting worse. I mean, just a couple of weeks ago, we were talking about, you know, Chuck Schumer's remarks in Congress, you know, President Biden's interviews on MSNBC talking about red lines. And so you see yet another example pretty shortly thereafter of the Biden administration seemingly kind of trying to take up, you know, pitch some kind of Hail Mary as it hopes there's a positive developments in Gaza and a ceasefire and doing what it can to, you know, give some signaling to some of its to its political parties and its supporters that it's, you know, seeking to at least, challenge and address humanitarian concerns. It's seeking to challenge Israel and policies it might disagree with, even as much as, you know, the White House is saying that the abstention is not a change in policy, right? They're like walking a fine line, trying to convince the public that this abstention isn't a big deal and that they're not sure why Israel and is upset about it. And so it's just the latest development. I kind of wonder what's the next step that we're going to see when it comes to the U.S. Challenging Israel.
Less Democratic administrations of late have had a bad habit of throwing Israel under the bus at the UN Security Council. I'll recall in December, when the Obama administration was one foot out the door, the United States abstained on UN Security Resolution 2334 with respect to Israeli settlements. What does this resolution do to the U.S. relationship?
You know, Morgan, I don't think it changes that much. By the way, Jackson is clearly upset because you are upset. And so I think spiritually we are all with Jackson. Yes, I think it's upsetting that the administration did this. They shouldn't do this. It's the wrong vote. It's not showing leadership. It causes our allies to call into question American support for them when things get tough. And so it's not good. At the same time, this is performative, and the administration is doing this for their own domestic political concerns because Michigan will be one of the swing states in November. There's no doubt about it, and they're very worried about their Gaza policy negatively impacting their vote in Michigan and possibly handing the state to Trump. The other thing that the administration is doing, which is frankly similar to what Arab states in the Middle East are doing, is trying to demonstrate to the world that, hey, we're not as all in on Israel as you might think, even though the U.S. is all in on the side of Israel in this conflict. The reality is, on the ground, the U.S. continues to support Israel, will continue to support Israel, and is going to be on their side throughout this battle with Hamas. And I think this vote at the U.N., while regrettable, is an attempt to keep the ball in the air and make it look like the U.S. is having perhaps a less supportive role for Israel than people think. That is very useful to the Biden administration politically. Frankly, it's also useful for the Prime Minister of Israel, Bibi Netanyahu. You know, having a little antagonism from the U.S., I think, is going to help him domestically. His numbers went way down, understandably, after the October 7th attack. So this kind of fake antagonism between Washington and Jerusalem helps him domestically, politically, also. And we should recognize that. And so There's this other weird dynamic, Morgan, and I'm sorry for talking so long, but the Israel and its allies in the Arab world and the United States, the allies want to see the Gaza operation ended quickly. They want to move past this. The Israelis are taking their time because they want to do it right, and they want to make sure that the humanitarian impact is as little as possible. So there's a conflict there on the timing of this that I think is probably the real issue at the end of the day. But this UN Security Council resolution is concerning, but let's see it for what it is.
So as you throughout, you know, the last couple months continue to bring up, you know, performative actions by the Biden administration. And so like I'm left wondering, and that there isn't really a delta between what the Biden administration wants and what maybe BB wants. I can't speak, no caffeine. And I'm just wondering, what would it take for you to actually see, okay, there is a split. The Biden administration, it's not performative. This is actually what, you know, what the administration is pushing for. Like, I'm just wondering what would convince you?
Well, I think if we saw a real diplomatic breach, if the U.S. pulled its ambassador and ended all conversations between the two governments or pulled its security assistance, none of those things are going to happen, Jones. It's just not realistic. The U.S. is going to stick with Israel through thick and thin. Say what you want about Joe Biden. He's actually been in the context of kind of the two faces of the Biden administration. He's been fairly clear that he's going to stick with the Israelis through this conflict. Even while some of his minions go out into the ecosphere and say slightly different things, Biden himself has always been pretty clear about his support for Israel. It's an interesting question, but I don't think we're ever going to get to see any of those answers to your question.
Yeah, Les, I want to get to Lipsy here, but I also want to flag that I don't think we've ever seen the United States withhold security assistance or withdraw our ambassador from an ally that is of the same, you know, at the same level as Israel. I mean, Israel literally is one of our closest security partners and the only democracy in the Middle East. So I think what the Biden administration is really trying to do is try to find that, I don't know, for lack of a better word, sweet spot between pulling security assistance and shaming Israel in public. And I don't think they've been able to find that yet. So with that said, John, the UN Security Council clearly doesn't have a lot of credibility these days. And I find it hard to believe that Netanyahu is going to adhere to any resolution by an organization as anti-Israel as the United Nations. So does this resolution even matter?
Well, yeah, as performative as some of these actions might be, and as sort of panic driven as some of them might be, they do have real world consequences. So, you know, one is that the UN resolution, by not linking the ceasefire to the release of hostages, it will, you know, put Israel in the position of standing in contravention to a UN Security Council resolution. And that has the consequence of further isolating Israel diplomatically. But like more importantly, I think it has real consequences for the administration in, you know, what they say are their sort of two goals here that they're trying to achieve. One is to achieve a ceasefire and the other is to, essentially, you know, degrade and defeat Hamas as a military organization. So let's take them at their word that's what their goals are and that's what they're trying to achieve. Is this, you know, is what they're doing working? Is it helping? Well, look, this, you know, the resolution, it further isolates Israel, gives the appearance of a further break between the U.S. and Israel. It was hailed by Iran, Hamas, China, and Russia. And the result, you know, what we see is Hamas is refusing to negotiate. They're maintaining their stance that they will only release further hostages with a complete end to the war. Israel withdrew its delegation from going to Washington to learn from the White House how they can defeat Hamas and without going into Rafah. Israel withdrew its negotiating team from the ceasefire negotiations because of where Hamas is positioned. Look, Hamas's strategy is to use the suffering of the Palestinian people to isolate Israel and bring international pressure to end the war. The White House is doing a lot to tell Hamas that their strategy is working, that the direction of travel is positive for them, and it gives them no reason in the near term to work towards a ceasefire or to, release the hostages. So these performative acts are not, you know, how consequential the UN resolution in and of itself, it's not enforceable. It's not that significant, but it is sending a very clear signal to Hamas and to Iran that their strategy appears to be working.
I'd like to point out this is two days in a row that John Lipsey has supported the United Nations and upsell to their significance.
A number of people have been pointing that out. Yeah.
Woodrow Wilson 2.0.
Okay, on that note, that's a wrap. Thanks so much to Devlin Burney, Claude Jennings, and the NSI staff for their help in producing today's episode. Join us again on Friday, March 29th, for another episode of Fault Lines, the National Security Institute's podcast that gets you smart, fast on the national security and foreign policy debates shaking up America. Fault Lines is now on YouTube, so check out our channel for a video of today's episode. If you like what you heard, be sure to rate, review, and subscribe.